Happy Friday morning to you. This is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. I hope you are nicely settled into your easy chair or your office chair or your seat in your car with your seatbelt on and no cell phone anywhere close to you so that you can pay attention to the road. Oh boy, if more people would do that, how much better it would be to drive. You know, it just still freaks me out sometimes to pull up beside somebody who's been swerving all over the road and look over, and you know, that's what it is. It's a cell phone. They're all up in the business of that cell phone. So don't be doing that right now. Best thing to do, I heard, was to put your cell phone in your glove box. Put it on silent, put it in your glove box, or put it in your trunk, even better. It's probably not a bad idea. Boy, I just spent a lot of money yesterday evening. And basically, it's for you. Well, it would be for you if you were a customer of Gateway. But there is no wonder that maintaining cars can be an expensive proposition, or especially working on cars, you know, getting automotive repair. It's not surprising why it's expensive. You know, it's expensive to go to the doctor. It's expensive to go to the doctor even if they don't find anything wrong with you. They still charge you, don't they? And you know why they do? It's because they're charging you for their precious time. And I get it now, after being in the car business for such a long time, because of the investment. You know, you've got your capital investments, which includes your building, your shop, your lifts. Those things aren't cheap. You know, just a two-post lift is about $6,000. And we have 24 of them, I believe. And then you have four-post lifts. And you have tire balancing machines and brake lathes and all the special tools. I had to buy a special tool to service electric car batteries. It is a hoist, basically, that you know you put the car up on a two-post lift, and let's say it's a Mach-E Mustang, and we need to pull the battery out to replace one of the defective, if it had a defective battery cell, lithium ion cell, I guess it'd be what it would be called. That's the type of battery it is anyway. And we had to pull it out. Well, you can't just take the bolts out and lower it down and get Charlie in the stall next door to you to help you lower it out of the car, because it weighs 1,200 pounds. And it's flat, and you have to put something flat underneath it in order to be able to lower it. Well, that's a tool that I had to buy. It was $5,400. That pales in comparison to what I just bought yesterday. Have you ever had a tire alignment? Well, of course you have. Well, if you haven't had one recently, you might be due for one. Do you know that according to these statistics from NADA, over 40% of the cars that are on the road need a tire alignment? And because they don't have one, it can affect a number of things, and we'll talk about that in the time coming up. But anyway, this equipment, so whenever it gets installed, which I'm assuming it's going to be about 6 weeks, when you drive through my service department door, your alignment is going to be measured on your car. Now, I know you're not asking me to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's in your best interest. And then it's your choice whether you do anything about it. If your car is in perfect alignment, the system will print out something, and we can show it to you and say, by the way, Mr. Customer, you don't need a four-wheel alignment because your car is tracking straight down the road. The tire patch on your cars is exactly planted where it should be, to where you have maximum contact with the road, and you don't have to worry about your tires wearing out prematurely. Isn't that wonderful? And but if it's out of alignment, would you want to know it? I would. So we're going to be able to tell you that without actually having to charge you a dime. You know what it costs to put a car up on an alignment rack, if one is available, so that you can actually check the alignment on your vehicle? Well, that's about a half-hour job. And in a typical car dealership, I know there's a lot of dealerships in the Tri-Cities that are charging, you know, $130, $150 an hour. And so, you know, you're looking at $75 just to check your alignment? Well, at Gateway, it won't cost you anything. It'll be done automatically as soon as you drive through the door. And we'll print you out a report and or show it to you on our little computer screen, and you can say, I'm glad my alignment is perfect. Or maybe I should do something about that. So I'm buying that piece of equipment. And the next piece of equipment is a all-new alignment rack. Our alignment rack is not big enough. The one that we have and the one that we have at Gateway number 2 is equally not big enough to be able to handle these big F-450s that we're selling so many of. You know, these crew cabs with the 8-foot-long bed and dual rear wheels. And so we can't get them on alignment rack. And when somebody comes in to have an alignment done on one of those vehicles, we have to take it someplace else and get it done. And I said, guys, I'm tired of doing that. We're going to do them here. And so we're buying a new rack and a brand new alignment computer alignment system that will reduce the amount of time that it takes to do an alignment. You know, the more a technician has to walk around and move around without actually doing work, the less efficient he is and the less money he's able to make as a technician. They're paid like doctors. You know, the more patients a doctor sees in a day, the more he makes. Now, you can get to it's called the law of diminishing marginal utility. Have you ever heard that? Basically, you can get to a point where your efficiency starts to, your quality starts to suffer. You may see a lot more patients, but your quality is going down. In other words, you're not spending that doctor-patient time well, and your patients feel shortchanged because they really wanted you to get serious about that mole on their back, and you just kind of brushed it off because you're in a hurry to see the next people. We don't want that. At Gateway, we want to be able to give you the time that you need and focus on your car because we have a fiduciary responsibility in my shop, and I'm serious. If you bring your car to me and we put it up on a lift and let's just say it's there for, you want your tires rotated. Well, we're going to look at several other key things underneath your car while it's up on a rack because they're all safety related and we feel like it's our obligation to notice things that you won't. And, you know, if we just rotate your tires, pick it up, put it down, send you on your way, that's fine. But what if you have a worn ball joint in your front suspension that could, or you got something that's, just about to fall off. You'd want to know it, wouldn't you? I would. So I pay my guys to see those things without charging the customer to notice. It's just something that we have to do. I learned this from my dad 43 years ago. He says, Lenny, you've got to go the extra mile. These people are counting on us, and you know if we miss something, then it could impact their lives. You know, you think about going down the road, hurtling down the road at 70 miles an hour, and you know you had some loose lug nuts on your wheel, and nobody noticed, and you just had it in the shop, and the wheel came off, and you wrecked your car. You'd be pretty upset. I would be too. That's our responsibility to make sure that that kind of thing doesn't happen. So anyway, this equipment, the alignment process should take maybe an hour to an hour and a half to do under normal circumstances. This machine that we're buying will do it faster, better, more efficiently. The technician won't have to make as many laps around the car. A typical alignment technician has to make 8 trips around the car. In order to get everything done with this new equipment, he'll make 3 trips around the car, and it'll be more accurate. So, you know, this is just one of the things that we try to do and try to stay on the cutting edge as much as possible. That cutting edge is expensive, though. Something else I saw in the news that I wanted to bring up, but guess what? It wasn't in recent news. It was in September of 1973, and I'm going to tell you about it right after this break. So who cares what happened in September of 1973? What were you doing back then? I'll give you a second to think about it. Okay, time's up. I was actually a junior at Greenville High School. I was a basketball player on the Greenville High School basketball team, playing for Herb Hawks and the Greenville Green Devils. And my girlfriend was a majorette. She was a head, no, let's see. She was a head majorette the next year. I ended up marrying her. Never could get rid of her. Still have her. And I'm glad. But what was happening in 1973? Well, I'll tell you, it was a very big transition year for the car business, just like it is right now. You know, you think about the electric revolution that's going on right now. What do you think the revolution was in 1973 as the new 1974 cars were coming out? This was an interesting time. So in the, I guess the initial letter to the editor or whatever it is at the very beginning of this magazine, this gentleman, and I can't even pronounce his name. First name's Eric. I can pronounce that. But here's what they thought about the new Environmental Protection Agency, which was brand new back then. Here's his comment. He says, the Environmental Protection Agency means to shut down America. Does that sound like a overreach? It does a little bit. He's complaining about the profound implications of the Clean Air Act, which will reach motorists within 18 months as we face mandatory inspections. Now, yeah, these are the things that he thinks are going to happen. Now, did they happen? You tell me. Mandatory vehicle inspections, not in Tennessee. Mandatory carpooling, that never happened. Parking bans, higher parking fees. Now, that probably happened in larger cities. Staggered work hours, traffic bans during peak hours, and retrofit smog devices for older cars. None of those things happened. And then he said, by 1977, Los Angeles will probably ban all cars from the street, as well as 60% of all diesel-powered vehicles. In northern New Jersey, a 60% driving reduction may be necessary. And all of this is because of the tighter emission standards that go into effect during this time frame. Now, you know, sometimes when our federal government passes laws, sometimes the end result is not what they intended. That's happened in more cases than any of us would like to admit. But that also happened back in 1973 and in the middle of the 70s. Yes, the EPA had a major impact on the auto industry. No, it did not ban driving in the downtown Los Angeles. If you go there right now, you will you'll be able to see that it didn't work. But it did change the industry. And, you know, at first it was rocky, folks. I lived through the through this time period as a service advisor when I was working at the dealership during the summers, and then once I graduated from UT in 1978, came back to the dealership, and we were still dealing with the ramifications of the Clean Air Act and the impact that it had on engines. You know, you look at the horsepower that was reduced. I mean, cars that used to have 300 horsepower now had 120 horsepower. We had all kinds of drivability problems, including hesitation, cold start problems. You know, trying to get carburetors to work in conjunction with smog pumps and PCV valves or PVC valves, all of this stuff was I don't know, it was just like you were a human guinea pig. Fast forward to today, where, you know, Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, has no problem using you as a human guinea pig to perfect his self-driving capability. And it's funny, most of the human guinea pigs are willing to go along with it. It's worth the risk. I think I told you about the guy that I was riding beside on the way to Birmingham with my daughter Abby. We looked over, and this guy was just cruising down the road, his hands folded across his chest, and the Tesla was driving itself, and he had his cell phone was suction cup to the windshield, and he was watching a movie, watching TV. Might have been watching The Price is Right, for all I know. But he wasn't watching the road, and he wasn't driving that car. And this is a transition time. I am so sick of hearing about electric cars, and here I am, an electric car dealer. I sell them. But they are so insignificant in terms of the acceptance of them, and they get way too much press. I mean, I can't open a single article in Automotive News, which is a trade journal that I look at, or Car and Driver, Road and Track, Motor Trend. It's just like electrification is the new drug. And you know, is it exciting on some levels? Possibly. You know, is it going to be free? You know, or cars are going to be more expensive, and is the electricity generated for our cars produced by, I don't know, fairies in Narnia or something? No, that electricity has to come from fossil fuels. It still does, you know, and so we're going to be continue to spew stuff into the atmosphere. Cars are running leaner now than they ever have from an emission standpoint. They can make them where they have almost zero emissions. If they successfully develop these synthetic fuels, which Porsche already has, basically the only thing coming out of the tailpipe is water. And I don't think it's drinking water, but it's water. So the revolution that we're in right now is a manufactured revolution. It is manufactured from the auto industry side. And it's being pushed by government, for sure, but it's not like it was back in the 70s, which, you know, Congress got together and said, let's pass this law, and it changed the way cars could be built. Now it's a little bit more voluntary, but the market is supposedly pushing this thing, but I don't see it. You know, I'm at less than 5% of the entire market out there right now is electric. And they're talking about all this widespread acceptance of electric vehicles and that it's coming. And, you know, maybe it is coming. I've got zero electric vehicles in stock right now. I've got a bunch ordered, you know, Lightning trucks and Mach-Es, but none here. And the only thing I got out here are gas burners and a few diesel burners. And to me, they're great. So that's what we're going to stick with for probably the next 10 to 12 years, or 10 or 15 years. Until they get this charging thing figured out, that's what we're all going to stick with. Okay, let's get back on to this alignment thing. You know, alignment is very important. It improves driving safety by keeping the right amount of the tire in contact with the road and preventing your vehicle from pulling either to the left or right. A properly aligned vehicle has a smoother ride, has optimal gas mileage. It keeps your tires from wearing out prematurely. Over time, what happens is the suspension components will settle. The parts, they get tarred. You know what I'm saying? They get fatigued. The springs, the bushings, rubber cushions that dampen the amount of movement and noise in a suspension. That's what all those bushings do. They gradually change, and that changes the alignment. Impacts, you know, like hitting a pothole or going over big bumps or rubbing up against a curb or rolling over some debris or hitting a deer, all of these can push the wheels out of alignment. Aggressive driving, carrying really heavy loads, bent or worn suspension parts, or even a slight fender bender can trigger a misalignment. So you want to get this at least looked at once a year. And if you go to a dealership that has the automatic scanners like we're going to have, then it's really easy. You just drive through the garage door and boom, you know. So that's going to be a great benefit, I think, to my consumers, don't you think? If you're doing business now with a dealership, I'd ask them if they can, if they have a scanner. And if they don't, just get them to check your alignment. You know, when you go in for an oil change, you probably have to schedule an appointment for that because the alignment racks stay pretty tied up. But, once a year, maybe, I don't know how often you're getting your oil changed. Depends on how many miles you're driving. But get that checked out because it's very important. We'll be back in just a minute. Bill Bledsoe is a art professor. Well, really, he's over the art department at Tusculum University. They went from Tusculum College to Tusculum University. And Bill is an absolutely wonderful person and an amazing artist. And we've been working with them on some graphics packages for Mustangs. And he came to me yesterday with, and I had asked him to do this. I said, I mean, I love the Mustang package he came up with so much. If you own a Mustang, you need to come to Greenville and let me show you those packages. You'll want it installed on your car. And it's installed locally, and it will set your Mustang apart from anybody else's, and it's not very expensive. But I asked him to do one for the new Maverick, for the F-150, and for the Nissan Frontier. And he brought his designs to me yesterday and just blew me away again. I'm sitting here, but I'm really blown away because these designs are amazing. If you own an F-150, if you own one of the new Mavericks, if you currently own the brand new Nissan Frontier, he can personalize that thing in a way that you won't see it anywhere else. It's called the American Touring Series, and it's really cool. All the packages are named after landmarks and famous people in and some mythological people like Paul Bunyan in this country, and it's all very American, and I just love it. And so we're going to be posting these online so you can see it. And also, if you – I don't care where you buy your vehicle. Well, I do care. I prefer you buy your Ford or your Nissan for me. But if you don't and you want to have this done to your vehicle, I certainly can arrange it for you. And it's something that's worth seeing. And because customization is a big deal, and there's a lot of money. They say that the average person, I have a hard time believing this, but the statistics don't lie. The average person will spend over $1,500 in accessories on their vehicle. That's on average. On trucks, it's over $3,000. So if your husband buys a truck, look out, because you probably won't get that nice ring that you've been hoping for. Well, hopefully not. You know, he's got to get his priorities right, right? Hey, if you need me, call me, 552-2020. Send me a text. I'll be glad to help you out with your car-related questions. If you're stuck in a car and can't figure out how to get out of it, or you are thinking about buying a new one and don't know where to start, you don't have to buy what I sell. That's what My Car Guru is all about, is helping folk in this area and in Arizona to make good buying decisions when it comes to buying cars, servicing cars, selling, trading, whatever. Let me help you. Folks, I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday morning.